Vamos, ela não apareceu.
Gato, exatamente isso. Você tem que aparecer lambendo o cu.
Hello?
Hello, Sabrina. This is Helen.
Hi, how are you, Helen? Can you hear me properly?
I'm good.
Great.
I can hear you fine. I can't hear you, but maybe you can see me.
I can see you because when we have video, the internet goes like weak. So
yeah.
Is that okay if we use only the audio? Is that okay for you?
That's fine.
Yeah.
And I hope my signal is good enough. Yeah, that's good.
Okay, great.
But Sabrina, you sent me some questions. And I'm very happy to talk about the project. I will also try to answer some of your questions about the earlier workshop that we did back in 2007.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a lot of information about that. It was run by one of my partners in the office, David Sim.
Yes.
But I can talk about sort of general information about that.
Okay.
But you seem to have some issues about social issues, contracts, and those types of things. And I will not talk about a lot of details about our contract. I think you have to talk with our client about that, Sabrina.
Okay.
It's not something that we usually talk about. And I must also say about some of the social issues that you were bringing up in your question has not directly been part of our job or our project.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I'm happy to talk about the project and whatever questions you might have in relation to the quality of that work.
Okay.
And how it's carried out. Yeah.
Okay, great. So, well, can we follow the set of questions I sent to you? Is that okay for you? If you don't want to.
Yes, please.
Pardon?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So we can follow the set of questions, and then if you don't want to answer one of them, you are totally free to do that, okay?
Okay.
And I have to tell you that I have with me Fabrício. He's my friend. He's a journalist also, and he's working with me on this piece. Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Yeah? Okay, great. So do you have the questions with you?
I do.
Yeah, okay. So maybe we can start with the first one. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would like to know who proposed the project in 2007. Is that okay for you to talk about?
Yeah. Have you seen the little report we did back in 2007? Do you know that work?
Yeah. I had access to it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that work for us, we at that point we were hired by ITDP, which is an international NGO. It's called, do you know, I don't know if you know ITDP, but they're called International Transport and Development Policies.
Uh-huh.
It's an organization led out of New York, and they do transport-led work all over the world. But they focus a lot on transport, and we had a general contract at the time to assist ITDP with expertise within urban design and public spaces.
Mm-hmm.
So we were not hired directly by anyone in the municipality or in the city of Sao Paulo, but we were invited in as experts by ITDP in that process, and conducted only a couple of workshops.
Mm-hmm.
In that process, and then we were asked to summarize some of our analysis and recommendations in this little mini report that was then produced afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the municipality didn't ask you to make that project, right? So it was ITDP.
It was ITDP.
Okay.
But as far as I know, some people from the municipality participated in the workshops and in the dialogue that ITDP had at the time.
Mm-hmm.
The way that I understand ITDP is operating is that they get funding from different investors or different.
Hello?
Sorry?
Ellen?
They get funding from different investors. Why do they get funding?
From the states and internationally, and ITDP has a focus on transport and land use policy, and they recommend they give recommendations to municipalities all over.
Okay. So do you remember who from the municipality participated of the
workshops? No, I don't actually know. Sabina is not personally involved in that process. Also, it was a very small involvement. It was primarily ITP that did that work, and Sao Paulo for one or two smaller workshops.
Uh-huh. Okay, so you had one or two workshops in Sao Paulo by that time?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, great. So, Helen, what happened to this project? Do you know what, if it was offered to the municipality, if, was it implemented, even partially?
I don't actually know what happened to the we did not have contact to the municipality directly ourselves. At the time, it was ITDP. So you actually have to ask them what happened afterwards.
Okay.
To my knowledge, I don't think anything happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nothing has been done, I think, in that area.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what was recommended at the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, now talking about the two projects, the 2007 and 2013, we found many similarities between them. So, what is the connection between them, the two projects, and what the difference? What are the differences between them?
Well, the similarities, of course, are very striking because we have used the same methodology.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been invited both times because of our methodology.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we analyze the space where we go out and we count people and we observe what type of activities are taking place in the spaces and in the streets, it's the same methodology that we have applied in both projects. So that's the reason why you can find similarities
mm-hmm.
in the two. And then also because nothing has been implemented since the first time, some of the things could be, there will be similarities, you could say.
Mm-hmm. So even on the recommendations of building up cafes, kiosks, and furniture, and working with water as well. So apart from the methodology,
mm-hmm.
the recommendations you made is more or less the same. So it is done. It is due to the methodology as well.
It is also due to the methodology, and it's due to the physical parameters of the site as it is today.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of the same issues. Were there also back in 2007 in terms of the space not being as active as one could hope it to be if it's going to be acting as the heart of the city, the connectivity to public transport, the connectivity to working town and so forth, a lot of those physical conditions have stayed the same.
Okay.
And that's it. But this second time, we were asked to not only look at the Ananda Bao, but also consider other spaces downtown for physical interventions.
Mm-hmm.
And you had one question later on in terms of what the difference was between what we were hired to do.
Yeah.
I would say we were primarily hired to not do a design, not do a like a star architect coming in and doing a design. We have developed a concept. Mm-hmm. We were hired to do to apply our methodology and way of analyzing through a capacity building and collaborative process.
Mm-hmm.
So we have conducted now a series of bigger workshops where we've had about 100 people participating in three big workshops where we have been out surveying the streets and spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And the difference between the design levels in this is that the Anangabau space have been developed in collaboration with all these different people to a concept design. It has never been our job to finalize the design or to do any sort of detailed design, because that has to happen with people directly from Brazil or from Sao Paulo.
Mm-hmm.
But we were asked to take the analysis, develop a program of activities, and then get to a concept design.
Mm-hmm.
For the other spaces we've worked with, we have suggested temporary projects.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about pilot projects, it is temporary projects that can be installed for a period of 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing something in 2 months, you can change the constellation of a space, you can test different spatial solutions. You can test maybe to implement bicycle routes or to make better pedestrian connections. You can test different types of evening or evening activities or activities in general within the spaces.
Mm-hmm.
And see whether you can change the dynamic of a space.
Mm-hmm.
Before you actually start using a lot of money on permanent solutions and permanent design.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I don't know if you know some of the work we've done in New York, but since 2007-8, we have been engaged in New York to do different types of temporary bicycle infrastructure and temporary spaces such as Times Square, Main Square, and other places.
Mm-hmm.
And this methodology we apply can be a way to engage people in real life, because sometimes it's difficult to engage people through public meetings or through social media.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's better to test certain solutions in real life and in the public spaces. And see how you can work with the physical parameters of a place before you just upscale and scale it up and implement it for real.
Mm-hmm.
So that has been our approach in New York, where it was very successful. Then we have done some measuring before and after count. What we often do is that we go out and, for example, measure the number of pedestrians. So we could go out and count how many pedestrians are walking. Are we able to change the numbers? Can we have more people cycling, for example? And then we would measure before, would count before, and we would count after the implementation of the pilot project.
Mm-hmm.
To test whether we are being successful.
Mm-hmm.
And whether we are reaching the type of results that we would like to emphasize in the city report.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Helen, do you remember how much costed the first project, the 2007 one?
No, I don't remember. I think it was not a lot, but I don't remember the exact figure. As I said, it was only one or two smaller meetings, and then a summary report that we did from Copenhagen. So, no, I don't remember the exact number.
Okay. So, well, the question five, we saw in the 2007 project some mentions about people that live on the street, children and adults, and about the informal traders as well. And we didn't see these mentions in the 2013. So what the difference GEL Architects realized in these two different times when you went to the street to research the life in São Paulo?
Well, I think this issue is very, very difficult. I think we have also we also have learned. I think it's difficult to survey and determine in a survey who is homeless and who is not homeless, and how do you determine that by the look of people? So our general philosophy is that we need to make spaces accessible for everyone. We need to make sure that the public spaces are inclusive and that there is a diversity of spaces in totality in the city, so as many people as possible can feel integrated and get access to goods and needs and so forth. We haven't. I couldn't say that there is. I couldn't say exactly what the differences were. I haven't myself, as I mentioned, been part of the couple of workshops that were conducted back in 2007. So with my eyes, I haven't seen the difference between the two times. In general, I would say it has not been our the social structures and how social issues are dealt with in São Paulo has not been part of our job, so to say. We are architects, and we have a certain methodology where we make people visible in the planning process. But we don't necessarily go in and suggest solutions to how to solve issues or problems around homelessness or illegal trade or things like that. Unfortunately, that is not part of our expertise, and it's not part of our our job description either, that we can go in and make recommendations about these things. Okay. I know it's an issue, and it's not that I don't think we should definitely. I mean, we've talked a lot about it in all the workshops we've had, and there is a big concern about between all the 100 people that have been part of this process. I think. But apart from that, I couldn't say specifically what is the difference between the 2 years we have been working in São Paulo.
Hello, this is Fabrício. Hi.
Hi.
Are you hearing me well, right?
Yes.
Okay. You told that there was like more than 100 people in these workshops, and you told the way you look at this on homeless people. But most certainly there was people in there that addressed it, that these people are there for years, right? Like there are homeless people living there for years. It's not like,
yes.
It's not something that we can make a confusion. Like, this is not a homeless person who lives in here. It's quite easy to interview and get to know that. I'm quite sure this was addressed, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, just to check that. Thanks.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I mean, we have done quite thorough surveys as well. I think it's difficult, really, in every city we've done. We do these public life surveys where we do counts of pedestrians, and we count. We also try to map the different activities that are taking place within a space. But we also do that in a way that we are not discriminating anyone. Mm-hmm. And whether we have been doing this in Seattle or in New York or in Mar del Plata or wherever we've been working all over the world, we don't want to map exactly and say, this is we found 10 homeless people, because we don't know whether they're homeless or whether they're just poor or whether they're trading something. So we didn't want to categorize people, you could say, in that way. But we tried to talk more about in which zones, if we want to make the space more lively, more active at different times of day and the year, which zones do we need to activate that doesn't feel safe today, for example? Mm-hmm. And what other zones are perfectly happy and successful as they are, and so forth. So we have been trying to think more about it in general terms instead of being very specific in our surveys.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, considering that we have homeless people living in Vale do Anhangabaú, how do you think that the project that you are making now contemplates these people?
I don't think it. I would like to see it that the space that has been suggested now in terms of programming could allow everybody to be there. I don't think we have. Our aim has not been to exclude anyone at any given point of time. But again, we are not suggesting that our concept design will solve any of those issues. So we haven't specified and said this particular corner could be good for homeless people. Mm-hmm. we have tried to address the activities in a more general way throughout the space, and we hope that the way it has now been activated able everyone to be there in that same space. Mm-hmm. And then the municipality have to solve social issues in other ways too, and find out in general how to solve the issue of homelessness in downtown in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, question 7. Did you guys contacted Jorge Wilhelm, even both in 2007 and 2013?
I don't know about 2007. I don't think so in 2007, but I don't know, because it was not us leading that process. So you will have to ask ITDP about that. But we had a very nice meeting with him in this process, mm-hmm, in October, mm-hmm, also with his wife, mm-hmm, and it was not ourselves that contacted him, but it was the city of Sao Paulo that contacted him. They knew him already, and we had a very, very nice meeting, mm-hmm, talking about how society had changed since this project was first installed, and what public spaces needs to do in the 21st century. And we had a lot of very, very intelligent and very good conversations. I think, of course, that is something that was what we were concerned about, and what the city was also concerned about, taking care of the heritage questions, mm-hmm, in this very important space for the city.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if he was What did he say when he knew that Vale do Anhangabaú would have a kind of transformation?
Sorry, I lost you there a little bit, Sabrina. Can you repeat?
Yeah. Do you remember what Jorge said when he knew, when he was told that Anhangabaú would have a project made by Gael?
Well, first of all, we have not, as I said, been invited to do a project. We have been invited to help the city manage a collaborative process. Mm-hmm. So whether the project in the end will in fact look like the collages that we have done, or whether it will actually change, I don't know, Sabrina, because we have only taken this to a conceptual level. Mm-hmm. And now other people from Brazil have to continue working with this detailed design, figure out how this space can be carefully developed. Mm-hmm. He was the former architect was of course very, very concerned about heritage questions, about this as a heart for the city. I think he understood at the time that it is not well functioned as it is now either. So he was welcoming the fact that we do need to change the space. Mm-hmm. Is that going to look is a question, and we did not go very much into detail about this in our meeting.
Okay.
I think the concept that has been taken forward by this big group until now, that we have tried to summarize in this document, is very, very basic. It's trying to make one surface which is very flexible, allowing for most types of events to take place in this space,
mm-hmm.
And also allowing for a more universal access. Instead of having a lot of levels as there are today, the new space with the new surface is aiming to have more leveled access, more universal access for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And then the project is also trying to preserve as many of the existing wonderful trees in the space as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the concept is also suggesting to plant even more trees, because there is a problem with heat and building up of heat. And the space is very, very large.
Mm-hmm.
So on an everyday basis, more trees would help to scale down the space and create a more human atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, the third element that has been worked into this concept is trying to activate the space both along the edges. One of the problems now is that there is no activities in the ground floor of many of the buildings surrounding.
Mm-hmm.
And until we wait for new activities to come into the ground floors, maybe one thing that could help is to have these smaller pavilions or other things that could help activate the big space on an everyday basis.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very basic elements like that, three elements. And then the water has come up in many of our discussions with people from the city, because there is a memory of the former river that used to run through the area. And there is a longing to get back some of that natural quality, even though it's a very unnatural site as it is today, because it's basically a lid over a highway, and so how to solve this memory of a past river and a natural element and valley through the São Paulo downtown,
mm-hmm.
is something that has been a big concern for many people in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So generally the concept as it is now is trying to illustrate some of these very, very basic ideas. Mm-hmm. And how it's then being detailed in the further process will be up to the city and the people and the companies that are going to deal with this further.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, well, I will skip question 8 because you've already told us about it. So you said in 2007 you had 1 or 2 workshops, right?
Yeah.
So what kind of issues were addressed by people in that workshop? Do you have this data?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have it? Do you know what kind of issues they have told you by that time? Would you mind describing more or less how these workshops were conducted?
You mean back in 2007 or
yes.
now?
Yes, 2007.
Ooh, Sabrina, you're asking a lot of questions about this 2007 work. Why do you think that's important?
Well, because I think it's really similar to the 2013.
Yeah.
And because you use the same methodology.
Yeah.
And it could be good to know how it works, like, through the time, you know?
Yeah.
So that
Because you're worried that the city has not implemented the advice, or...?
No, because we want to know how it works. I mean, the workshops, and we've been following the workshops that have been held in here, so we want to know how similar are they. So we want to know what kind of differences we have from the workshops in 2007 and 2013. That's it.
Yeah, well, I must, if you want to know more about the workshop in 2007, I have to ask my partner, David Sin, who was part of it at the time. Uh-huh. I don't know how it was conducted. The way we did the 3 large workshops last year in 2013 was that we started with a big workshop where everybody got, we have developed something that we call the 12 quality criteria, and those are published in some of our books. And it's kind of a qualitative assessment where you go out into a space and you discuss with each other how is the microclimate, does it feel safe, how is traffic solved in this area. What type of activities can I do? What is the scale of the space, etc., etc. Mm-hmm. So there are 12 different questions, mm-hmm. and the first workshop did everybody who was invited came to walk around downtown to a lot of different places, and they were asked to assess those spaces themselves. So they should ask, they should find out what were the qualities and what were their issues about every space. And then we worked together for 3 days to use those results to make a kind of a, you could say, vision. Mm-hmm. To share some dreams about how would we like public spaces to develop in Sao Paulo in the future? What does the different spaces need to do? And everybody, we looked at the whole downtown, and we had a big map down on the floor, and everybody got to put their heart. They had like a, you know, heart-shaped post-it. And everybody got to put their heart on a place in the city where they felt something needed to be done, either because they cared especially for that place, or because there were social issues in that space, or maybe it had a particular physical qualities to it, or whatever. But that was the first exercise, which was much more about analyzing and visioning. Mm-hmm. The second workshop we did, we tried to take that one step further and say, okay, if this is the analysis and the vision is to make wonderful spaces
buried spaces down